DOE request to FERC on large load interconnections may further limit state powers, written by Peter Kelly Detweiler, and read by Automated Voice. On October 23, U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright ordered FERC to initiate a new rulemaking proceeding in order to ensure efficient, timely and non-discriminatory load interconnections for large loads exceeding 20 megawatts. In his letter to FERC, Wright observed that, historically, the Commission has not exerted jurisdiction over load interconnections. However, Wright added, "It is my view that the interconnection of large loads directly to the interstate transmission system to access the transmission system and the electricity transmitted over it falls squarely within the Commission's jurisdiction." Wright then ordered FERC to consider a proposed rule, with action to occur no later than April 30, 2026, and attached an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, or ANOPR entitled, "Ensuring the Timely and Orderly Interconnection of Large Loads." The ANOPR suggested numerous changes to the status quo that would accelerate future interconnections, cut study times and reduce associated interconnection costs. Among other aspects, the proposed DOE approach would enable customers to file joint, co-located load and generation interconnection requests directly to FERC. An argument for arrogating this power to the feds. This initiative constitutes an entirely new approach to load interconnections, which historically have been regulated by individual states. In asserting an expanded legal ambit for FERC in this arena, the ANOPR makes several arguments. Large load interconnections constitute a critical component of open access transmission service. They are similar in nature to generator interconnections and thus need minimum terms and conditions to ensure non-discriminatory transmission service. FERC already oversees wholesale electricity rates and owns the mandate to ensure that wholesale rates are just and reasonable. This mandate should be extended to large loads and data centers. FERC also exercises jurisdiction over transmission in interstate commerce. Since large loads generally interconnect directly to high-voltage transmission, they should be regulated by FERC. States' regulatory authority is not affected or limited, since the ANOPR does not affect retail sales or the siting of power plants. Proposed issues addressed include the speed of interconnection studies, treatment of hybrids and net power flows at or near the same point of interconnection, and the flexibility of operations and capability of being curtailable. The ANOPR also suggests that load and hybrid facilities should be treated similarly to assets in supply interconnection queues paying standardized deposits for studies, risking penalties for withdrawals from the queue, and being subject to readiness requirements. The states pushed back. Not surprisingly, state regulators quickly made their concerns known. In its November 11th meeting, the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, or NARUC, adopted a resolution urging FERC to preserve and affirm states' retail regulatory authority under the Federal Power Act, ensure that large load interconnections do not compromise grid reliability or impose undue costs on retail customers, and respect state tools for promoting system flexibility and equitable cost allocation. Among topics NARUC raised were a fear that FERC might assert its authority over retail and use sales, a concern that large infrastructure investments to serve loads might unduly burden other ratepayers, and the recognition that at least 20 states have approved or have pending large load tariffs or similar measures, which may include financial commitments, curtailment protocols, and minimum contract terms to allow for the rapid interconnection of large loads without compromising grid reliability or unduly burdening existing retail customers. In other words, they already were addressing the problem. Bright line separating powers has been fading in recent years. State regulators raise some valid points, especially concerning the affirmation of regulatory responsibilities that were clarified by the 1935 passage of the Federal Power Act. That law gave federal regulators authority over interstate electricity commerce, created the Federal Power Commission, and established a bright line separating regulatory powers of state and federal authorities. However, if recent history is any guide, NARUC may not have much success in opposing or even influencing this new DOE effort, as recent FERC orders and related legal decisions have succeeded in greatly blurring the formerly bright line, with state regulatory oversight increasingly diminished as a consequence. That dynamic began with the restructuring of power markets in numerous states during the 1990s, with FERC Order 888 that established open access to transmission while introducing the concept of ISOs, and Order 2000 that created larger regional transmission operators. FERC Order 719, in addressing demand response, further helped fray the strength of state regulators, requiring grid operators to accept demand response bids into wholesale markets, though 719 did not establish a framework for compensation. This order signaled an explicit federal regulatory reach across the bulk power into the state-regulated distribution system for the first time. That incursion was further strengthened by FERC Order 745, which directed that demand response resource must be compensated for the service it provides to the energy market at the market price for energy. This was the first time that assets in the distribution system were incorporated into federal oversight, but states had the critical right to opt out, thus maintaining an important regulatory prerogative. FERC Order 841, focusing on energy storage, went a step beyond that initial movement into the state's realm. It specifically addressed storage resources behind the meter in the utility distribution system. Most critically, it did not allow individual states to opt out. Unsurprisingly, Order 841 did not sit well with state regulators, who saw this as an overreach into their jurisdiction. NARUC filed suit in an attempt to overturn Order 841, but eventually lost in the D.C. Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals. That appellate court ruling indicated that since the activity of these storage assets affected wholesale markets, FERC authority should prevail. FERC Order 2222 went a step further down this path, allowing all types of customer-sited assets to be aggregated and to participate in wholesale markets, in this instance NARUC. The Edison Electric Institute and other parties sought a rehearing but were denied. What's next? Comments on the ANOPR are due November 21st, and there certainly will be many provided, as the size of the prize at stake is enormous. Interconnection requests in the many hundreds of gigawatts, capital expenditures worth hundreds of billions of dollars, and outsized potential effects on ratepayers. With two newly minted appointees and a new chair, FERC will have its work cut out for it. The current fragmented approach of interconnection management has quickly become an unruly Tower of Babel. Demand forecasting is imprecise and inconsistent, and one can point to inflationary pressures that already have resulted from this lack of precision. Today, each utility and grid operator is developing its own processes and procedures in the face of loads that are simply unprecedented in scale, and few, if any, approaches are consistent with one another. State regulators' toes may be stepped on once again, and the regulatory bright line further blurred. But given the size of what is at stake, that pain may prove to be necessary, bringing some standardization, clarity, and consistency to the very complex and interwoven system of systems that is our U.S. power grid. Around the corner, columnist Peter Kelly Detweiler of Northbridge Energy Partners is an industry expert in the complex interaction between power markets and evolving technologies on both sides of the meter.